I too wish to greet everyone in Jesus' name this morning. I was blessed already by being here this morning. I appreciated the thoughts that were shared in the devotional. Thank you, Brother Steve, for that. Time. We all have a span of time here, don't we? And this morning, as I thought about a message, I want to use the time that God gave me this morning to preach His Word. So I thought of a message this morning. I titled the message, What is Truth? Thinking a little bit about truth this morning, as I studied for this message, I saw it's a lot bigger than what we can cover in one morning. So I tried to condense it to what I thought was what I could squeeze in. So as we look at truth this morning, what is truth? Truth is a fact. It's reality. It's what makes you feel guilty when you tell a lie. We heard this morning, Brother Dave in his opening there was saying the Pharisees felt guilty when they came in Jesus' presence. Why did they feel guilty? It's because they saw truth. So if we have a level, and I didn't bring a level this morning, but if I would have a level here and you take it up to something that's crooked, you don't go adjust the level. You adjust what's crooked because the level's correct. You're not going to go say, if I would have two of you up here this morning and we would be looking at trying to put a picture frame on the wall or something, and one of you would say, no, it needs to go that way. And someone would say, no, it needs to go that way a little bit. We just pull a level out and we don't question the level. It's truth. And that's what God's word is this morning. God's word is truth. And if we want to, when we look at our life and we see something in our life that's crooked, it's because we saw it against the truth. That's why it's crooked. Truth is an absolute. For example, 2 + 2 = 4. Can't change that. It equals 4. The sun comes up in the east and it sets in the west. That's just the way God created it. God made it that way. We can't change that. The law of gravity. If I drop something up here, it's always going to go down. Everything in life changes. We have change in life. That's just a truth that God, a fact that God put in place. Like we heard this morning, we have time. It's something God put in place that we can't change. Humans are mortal. We're mortal beings. We have a time slot here that God gave us that we can't change that. God established laws in the Bible that we cannot change. The Bible is truth. He is the rock. This is our God. A God of truth. God sets the rules. God says, what God says is truth, and that's just how it is. We can't change that. Truth is absolute. If you do wrong, you reap for the wrong you did. If you do right, you reap for the right. We can't change that. You can go out in the world and you can do what you want to do out there, but the fact of the matter is you're going to reap for that. And that's a fact. God placed that in order, and we can't change it. Pilate asked this question in John 18, verse 33-38. When Jesus stood before Pilate there, Pilate asked, "What is truth?" The people were angry. They were upset. They were very angry with Jesus. And Jesus just told Pilate the truth. Basically just told him that if he basically told him that if he would, that he is the truth, and he came to bear witness of that. And Pilate said, "What is truth?" And it appears like Pilate didn't really wait for an answer. He left. Jesus came to tell the truth. He said, "To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness of the truth." That's where it is. That's why Jesus came, to bring truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my words, he said. So today, if we're of the truth, we'll listen to God's word. We will read it. We will want to know it. What is truth? We don't need to look very far to know that there are many answers to this question in our world today. People get it confused. There's several views that people have of truth. Some say there isn't really a reality, or it's not really a reality. It's anything you make the truth is the truth. But that's a lie from the devil. People make their own theories or their own ideas sometimes of truth. And I believe that's why we have so much confusion in our world today. People don't recognize the Bible like they should. Others say there's many ways that lead home. Each of us has to find our own way. What is true for you may not be true for me, some say. There's a broad range, but we know that that's not true. Truth will stand, and it's an absolute that God created. We have the Muslims, they bow to Mecca. The Hindus, they wade into the Ganges River, and they worship that. The American Indians, they worship the Great Spirit. We have the Buddhists and the spiritualists. They have their ways of worshiping. Christianity is just another way, some people say. It's just another way to worship. And in the end, everybody arrives at the same place. Is that true? No, it's not. What is truth? Then we have a third perspective. There is one truth and only that one truth. And I hope that we believe that this morning, that one truth is God's word. The Muslims say Allah is God and the only God that everyone else should believe. They say everyone else is infidels and should die. They believe Allah is the truth. So how can we be sure in this confused world? Well, I believe that this morning we have God's word. And if we go with God's word, the Bible, we can know what God wants for us. We have God's word here, which is the truth. The truth was standing right before Pilate, and he didn't realize it, or he didn't want to realize it if he did. Jeremiah 22, verse 29 says, O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. These were the words of Jeremiah. Hear God's word. Hear what God has to say. That's what he wants for us. Earth, 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 hear the words of the Lord. God desires us to know. He wants us to know. From the Song of Moses, we read in Deuteronomy 32:4, He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. A God of truth has spoken to us through his word. It's absolute. God sent Jesus, his son, the true light. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth, the Bible says. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's only one way, and that's through Jesus. It's not through any other religion. It's through Jesus. That's the only way. He is the truth and the life. He's not just some signpost that points us to life, but he is life. He is that truth. He is the life. So why is there a question to what truth is? Well, we have sin. We have darkness. Started way back in the Garden of Eden. And we don't have a lot of time to get into that this morning, but we know Satan came and tempted Eve there. And he started to question. He started to He came to her with questions, first of all, and I thought that's interesting. He still does that today. He questions the truth. He questions God. He came to her in a garden and says, "Yea, hath God said?" He was attacking the truth. And that's still why we have the problems in our world we do today. It's an attack against truth. A question against truth. He's the father of lies, the Bible says. The spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience. The God of this world blinds the eyes of those that would want to believe. He brings blindness. That's why people question the truth today. It's from the devil. It's from Satan. Paul talks about people having itching ears. People go toward what they want to hear. Have you ever looked for something online that you wanted to buy? You looked at the reviews, and then you went and bought it. And after you bought it, you went back and looked at the reviews again to make sure that what you bought was the right thing. Or was what you wanted. Sometimes we have to try to convince ourselves that it's what it says it is. Jesus said in Matthew 24:4, "Take heed that ye be not deceived." Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11:3, "I fear lest the serpent who beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted." We need to keep God's word as a level in our life. If we want to find our way through this life, it has to be against God's word. It has to be in line with God's word, or we won't make it. So what do we consider when finding the truth? You know, we have to be more than sincere. Sincere is a good, you know, God blesses a sincere seeker, but it has to go further than being sincere. Paul says in 2 Corinthians that there are those deceitful workers that transform themselves into angels of light. Most of us would be slow to get caught up in just a satanic occult, something that we can see is sin. But sometimes it comes in deception. We need to be aware, lest we be deceived. We need to check our life, check it with the Word of God, check it against God's Word. Is it true? A greater danger is maybe delusion. You know, sometimes you have speakers that speak mostly the truth, but there's a twist of untruth in there. How do you pick that out? I think it needs to be with God's word. It needs to be like we mentioned, the level of God's word reveals that. So I think, first of all, we need to be very familiar with God's word in order to find our way. God wants to work in each of us to continue in the truth. To keep learning. We have people in different parts of the journey. We're not all in the same place of life. Some of us are older. Some of us are younger. Some of us are facing... We have challenges maybe with children in their youth. We have challenges with younger children. We're different places of life. Some of us are single. We have challenges there. But God's word has the answers. It's the truth. And if we go back to God's word, we can see where we need to adjust a little bit, right or left, or how we need to adjust our life. So we have different... Some people base the truth off of an emotional effect in their life. They get carried away with their emotions, or they might get excited about having a good time Sunday morning, but then during the week, does that last? Is it lasting? Some people use experience. Some people put a lot of weight on an experience they had in their life, and they say that is truth. That's the reason why I believe this, is because of the experience I had in my life. A little bit like a man that over in Hindu, there was a man over there that, and I don't know if this story is true or not, I read it from another source, but he fell into a well and he fell in head first. It's a little bit, can be a little bit humorous, but it brings out a point. He fell into the well head first and he prayed that God would help him out, and someone came to help him. And after he got out, he believed that if you want to get help from God, you need to pray standing on your head. So that's the way he started to pray. Well, we know that's kind of, you know, he was basing his belief off of an experience only. Looking at some safeguards for truth as we think of what truth is. The first one I have is the character of God. His word is a safeguard for us. He is the rock. His work is perfect. A God of truth. The fact that God wants us to know truth is beautiful. He wants us to know this morning. He doesn't just give it to us. He does give it to us and allow us to choose. But he does want us to know. Earth, 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 hear the words of the Lord, he says. God wants us to know the truth. Second one, we need to check the motive of the inquirer. Like Satan came to Eve and asked her that question. He was questioning the truth. Do we really want to know the truth? And if we really want to know, we can know. God will show us. Pilate, he asked, what is truth? The rich young ruler, I believe his ears were itching. He wanted to know the truth according to what sounded good to him. Nicodemus, he came to Jesus as well. He said, how can these things be? But he asked it in a little different way. He wanted to know. He actually wanted to know what the truth was. The Philippian jailer, what must I do to be saved? Believe he was sincere. Are we open to the truth? Do we want to know the truth? How sincere are we? God loves a humble, sincere seeker, Bible says. Third, I think we need to check the message. Does the message line up to God's word? Is it from the word of God? And in order for us to know that, I think we need to be familiar with God's word and read it often. And fourth, look at the messenger. And I think we need to be careful with this, but are the fruits of the messenger's life coming from God's word? There again, we need to line it up with God's word. Let's challenge ourselves. How close am I to God? How much time do I spend in God's word? Today we have a lot of information, and I think we have to be careful where we get information from. You know, we have so much information right at our fingertips online, but let's be careful that it lines up with God's word. And a parallel to that, as we think of, there's many gases around us that we can't see. And one of those gases is carbon monoxide. Carbon monoxide is a gas that is deadly and it kills. And I believe we can get ourselves into wrong kind of information that will kill us spiritually. And I think we need to be careful. Carbon monoxide is something that attaches to the hemoglobin in our lungs, and it says it's 200 times stronger than oxygen, so it just suffocates the oxygen off. It just cuts it off. It's deadly, and it will kill you. Carbon monoxide is poisonous. Evil is poisonous as well, and will spiritually kill us. So information, be careful where you get information from. Is it according to God's word? Then we have carbon dioxide. We breathe that in as well. That's all around us. Carbon dioxide is a neutral gas. It's not necessarily something that will kill you, but too much of it without enough oxygen will make you really drowsy. It'll make you sleepy. And there's much information around us today that isn't necessarily evil information, not really bad. It's a lot of neutral information. But let's not just feed on that. We need oxygen to live. Oxygen is something that we could refer to as God's word, as the truth. The truth that we breathe, the life, like we heard this morning. That is how we can discern if we are level, by breathing oxygen, taking God's word in. You know, as we're faced with truth today, it demands a response. Many people who came across truth in the Bible, it demanded a response from them. And we can go all the way back to the garden. Eve had to make a response how she responded to Satan when he came to her. Pilate needed to make a response, needed to make a choice. And I think today we need to do the same. When we hear God's word, it demands a response from our life. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection." Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He wants to transform our lives into his likeness. God's word has power to transform our life if we respond to it. When God calls us, do we respond? When we are convinced, or when we are convicted in our life of something wrong, how do we respond? When we are up against truth and it shows us where we're crooked in our life or where we maybe need adjustment in our life, how do we respond to it? It's a challenge. It demands a response. We cannot be neutral when faced with truth. There's two accounts in the Bible that of people that were faced with truth and demanded a response from them. And the one responded in a positive way and the other in a negative. And I'm just going to give these references out, and maybe you can read them in your devotions this week for some homework. 2 Chronicles 34, verse 14 through 21. And then also 26 through 33. Again, that's 2 Chronicles 34, verse 14 through 21, and 26 through 33. And then Jeremiah chapter 36, verse 14 through the end of the chapter. It was two kings here that were faced with a choice. The one responded in a positive way and repented, and the other responded in a negative way and burned the truth. You probably know the story already, but those two people responded to truth in a totally different way. John 8:32 says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." God wants to set us free this morning. He wants to give us life. Satan's desire is to put us in bondage. He doesn't want us to see the truth. But God wants us to know the truth. And it says the truth shall make you free. It will make you free. It's a promise that we have. Psalm 85, verse 8. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. The Spirit brings truth to us from God. God's Holy Spirit ministering to us gives us the words of life. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. Are we listening to God? And not only in Sunday morning service, but throughout the week, in our devotional life, when we meet other people, through the daily activities of our life, are we listening to God? Are we listening for His Holy Spirit to guide us? God wants to teach us. There's many times in life when God speaks to us, and it can be through various circumstances. Sometimes His Holy Spirit speaks to me, and maybe you don't think about it. That's God's Spirit working in our life. Are we listening to it? What does the Bible say about truth? The Bible is truth, and we could go on and on. It's so much. God's Word is truth this morning. It's a vast subject. John 17:17, Jesus' words here, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 8, verse 32. We read that verse already. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Ephesians 4, verse 15 and verse 25. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Speaking the truth in love. You know, that could be a message of its on itself. Sometimes we speak the truth. And I was talking to someone here recently that was talking about speaking the truth. And he said, you know, it doesn't, if you're speaking the truth, then you don't have to be ashamed of it. But he said, you should speak the truth in love. So we can be convinced that we have the truth, but if we don't do it in love, then we can miss the point. We can turn people away. And that's the challenge, speaking the truth in love. Speaking God's word in love can go a long way. I want to remember that and try to do that for myself. It's a challenge for myself that sometimes if I'm convinced that I know the truth, how do I present it? Is it in love? 1 John 3, verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Love in truth. God's word is that source of truth this morning. Praise God. God's word will guide us and show us if we want to know. Will we choose to reject it or burn it? Or will we choose to obey it and build on it? With these thoughts, let's kneel for prayer. Eternal God, we come before you this morning. We thank you.